Today, Chuck McKinney joins me to talk about Kemba Walker, who might not just be okay, he might come back and play. Can you believe it? Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, and thoughts on the West Coast swing. It's all coming up on the Monday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go!
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Jay's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly.
Happy Monday. Thanks for joining the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, except for that one day I took off last week when my voice was just trashed because everybody on the beat had a cold. But I'm back in Boston, happy to be back home, ready for the Celtics, a big bounce back week after a tough road trip. And here to talk about this all with me is Chuck McKinney of RedsArmy.com, a fine website if I do say so myself. How's it going, Chuck?
It's good, man. It feels like it's been a wild few days here as a Celtics fan. Emotions, up and down, all over the place. It's been pretty crazy.
So let's just dive into this Kemba talk, because we got the update today at practice, on Sunday at practice, and not only is it encouraging, shockingly, the Celtics have left open a sliver, just a slice of hope that Kemba might play. They're talking about it in terms of, we'll see how he does tomorrow. So for those of you who haven't seen or heard the updates, not only is there no concussion, although they are closely monitoring him because concussions could present a day or two later, so you never know. But they are keeping an eye on him. It's a neck sprain, and they're just kind of seeing how he feels tomorrow and on Monday. And Chuck, it's possible after all of that, after that scary moment, that we could see Kemba back on the floor as soon as this Monday night game.
Yeah, I mean, that seems so crazy to me, that after watching him just kind of crumple to the ground, and just that whole scene in Denver was just so surreal. And And just watching it, and then, you know, remembering about, or flashing back to Jaylen Brown when he had his fall in Minnesota. But just watching the team go through that and then having to come back on the court and play after that. And then just what a wild ride that game was. And then, you know, waking up to positive news. And then again today, there's more positive news. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I'm willing to say I'd almost bet everything I have that he's not playing on Monday. What's the benefit to saying he's doubtful versus just saying he's out, we're going to give him a few days? Like really, I don't understand. Is it to kind of fire up or really just to kind of pull on the positive aspect to that, so fans are just a little bit energized, or even his teammates get a little energy or boost from that? I'm still trying to figure that out, because you don't think he's playing, right?
I don't think he's playing. But at the same time, if no matter how bad the injury looks, what matters is how bad the injury actually is, you know? So if it could look like the worst injury in the world, and it was an injury where you saw him run headfirst into Shemmy, and the way the neck kind of compressed, it looked as scary as it could possibly be. Like you're wondering, you're just sitting there saying, I'm in the arena looking at him. I'm like, give me a thumb, give me something that tells me that your extremities can move. Like that's where my mind goes. But despite that appearance, if he's okay, then he's okay. Like, I don't know what else to say then.
No. Like, that's true, right? So you know, my last vision of him is still crumbled up on the floor.
Right.
I mean, it's been almost 48 hours now. So for all I know, he could have been on a stationary bike today.
He was.
Or he could, you know what I mean? He could be laughing, joking around with teammates or, you know, engaging with the trainers. So, they obviously have, you know, the latest, you know, version of Kemba. But for me, it's still like, wow, I haven't seen him since he was on that goddamn stretcher. Right. I find it hard to believe that he would be doubtful. So that's obviously, you know, pieces of information that we don't have. And I'm guessing that maybe there's something to that he looks and feels pretty good. But man, I'm still not ready to even think about him playing.
No, right.
I'm not ready for this.
You don't leave a game on a stretcher on Friday and come back to play and start on Monday. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. Like, I can't process that.
Right.
Just like you can. Like, how the hell did that happen? But, you know, like, this is a young guy who's in peak condition, who is, he can absorb things that, like, the rest of us just can't. You know, like, I don't want to make a strong comparisons, but, like, wasn't it Bobby Hurley who got into a motorcycle wreck or something like that way back when?
Yeah.
And he ended up face down in a ditch somewhere. And they said he only survived this accident because he's an elite athlete. And his body was in such perfect condition that this incredible trauma that would have killed somebody else, he survived it.
Right.
And yes. Now you take it to this, like, much less extreme level, but he's in such peak condition that sometimes his body can absorb things that mine can't, for sure. My old flabby body can't handle that. I'd be dead. You know, right. I'd be like, you'd be planning my funeral and he's getting ready to play. So, like, I don't know. And sometimes, you know what? It's just shit luck. It's the luck of, if his head had been lower by a half inch, he's paralyzed, but it's up a half inch and he's okay. Like, I don't want to make it sound like that was the case, but, like, that's the type of luck that's involved in these injuries, right? Like, you just never know. A certain angle, a certain impact, a certain, you know, just like, go back to the Enes Kanter injury. If his foot had been planted, then Josh Richardson slamming into his knee would have been a torn ACL and his year would have been over, but because his foot gave way, it was a bone bruise and he missed, like, or whatever, like, seven games. So luck is definitely a factor in this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I'd love to have him back as soon as he's able to play. I know the Celtics have a schedule that's, you know, on the lighter side this week after playing some tough games out west, but it would be nice to start to accumulate some wins and start to, you know, not that I'm down on this team, but, you know, they've lost 3 out of 4. So,
sure.
Granted, when you look back on the trip and the way they played and the way they fought against the Clippers and even that Denver, you know, fourth quarter, you know, I feel as positive as I can about a 2-3 road trip. When you look at the injuries that they had to deal with. But I'd like to start, you know, winning some games again, and not have, you know, losses to, like, Sacramento or Brooklyn this week. And I think, you know, they're going to need Kemba back. I still think that nothing's given, you know, regardless of the opponent.
Sure.
Just considering that they don't have Hayward and they still seem to be figuring out, you know, with their bigs and the bench, who's contributing and such. So, you know, I'll give him Monday. He can rest a few more days, but then if he's good, let's get back in the saddle and start winning some games again.
Well, it's amazing news that we're even having this kind of conversation right now. Hopefully he's good, and he does plan on talking to the media before the Sacramento game. So we will hear from Kemba one way or another, supposedly before the Sacramento game. So watch for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, watch for that on masslive.com/Celtics because that's the best Celtics coverage out there. Followed ever so slightly behind by RedsArmy.com.
We'll take it. No, I'm dying to hear what, you know, what he recalls and,
yes,
and what it felt like, right? I mean, you know, because he wasn't moving. I mean, I was trying to determine whether he was knocked cold, but it didn't seem like it because there was some sort of
fidgeting.
right? So was he knocked cold for a second or two? But there wasn't a lot of movement with the limbs. And you're right. There was no sort of positive gesture to anyone else, like fans, like a thumbs up or anything that made you feel, oh, okay, he's going to be all right as he's being escorted off. So I'm just curious how that, you know, what he was feeling, because, you know, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of jokes about Semmy's, rock hard abdomen or pecs, whatever he hit, but that should be interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure he's going to make a joke at somebody's expense, but, that's the wrong guy you want to run into on top of everything. So we'll hear from Kemba before that game. Some more positive injury news when we come back. Gordon Hayward was out there on the floor shooting and without any sort of thing on his left hand. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about that when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So as Brad Stevens was talking at practice on Sunday, Gordon Hayward was out there just kind of shooting and looking pretty good. And to the point where even Brad Stevens was like, hey, look at that. Is he using his guide hand? Yes, he is. He's using his guide hand. And his guide hand's obviously the left hand that he broke. There was, he had his middle and I think it was his middle and ring finger on the left hand taped together, which Brad said it was to be triple safe. And then later on, Gordon just kind of took that off too. So no pad, no splints, no nothing. He was just catching the ball with his right hand, using his guide hand, bringing it to the left hand, not like slapping it or anything, but bring it to the left hand and shooting. So initially they said 6 weeks. This is now 2 weeks since the injury. And Chuck, I don't know. You saw the video. I'm looking at it. I say I'd be shocked if this thing took 4 more weeks to heal. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch this video and you said, this is video of Hayward rehabbing, and you're like, okay, well, from what injury? This could be from last summer when and you might be looking at his feet saying, oh, his ankles, they look good. And there's nothing from this video that makes you think he's favoring his hands, or, you know, I'm looking at it from a distance, but I don't see any sort of tape like you talked about. But his form, the stroke, everything looks super clean. So again, there's no signs of any injury. So yeah, I'm thinking like you're thinking, maybe a couple more weeks. Now I don't know how sturdy, you know, the fracture is. That I'm sure there's some sort of explanation as to how long it takes to fully heal and sustain like a hard foul, a hard whack to it. So maybe that needs to, but you're right. I mean, I think we're all shooting for Christmas Day. That was 6 weeks. I got to think that he definitely seems ahead of schedule on that. And it's just so good. You know, we just dealt with so much with him and watching different videos of him making cuts and jumping. But now just this hand is such a light injury. He looks really good, and I can't wait to get him back because, you know, just seeing the offense without him, there's definitely a difference there, and I'm really looking forward to getting him back out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, 4 weeks is the Cleveland game on the 9th or the Indiana Pacers game on the 11th. Somewhere between that, at home against Philly on the 12th, or at Dallas on the 18th I don't want to put out there something that I don't know based on any sort of like, I'm not obviously not a doctor and they haven't said anything. Brad Stevens says he hasn't checked on the timeline. So, but I don't know that it would take much longer than 4 or 5 weeks. I'd be surprised if it went out to 6 just because he looks just so natural out there. And they can do, he's already got the plate on it. It's got a screw in there. Mm. This is the same injury that Aaron Baines came back 4 weeks later last year. So there's precedent for a 4 week timeline on this. A lot of guys have had similar injuries and have come back in 4 weeks. So as long as everything progresses. And again, the same thing that I said about Kemba applies to Gordon Hayward. Young, in shape, his body's working at optimal level. Like that bone with that plate on there, it's going to heal quickly. So everything's been done to maximize the healing process. He said today as he was walking off the floor, he didn't give like an interview, but he was saying like the reason he doesn't have the splint on there or anything on it, so he can have the range of motion in the left hand. So there's no atrophy. So you don't have to, that's part of the recovery. Like people don't realize like it's not just healing from an injury. It's like getting everything around it back up to speed because of the atrophy. And with none of that, he gets to keep his conditioning up, his shooting touch, he gets to keep that. Like, once he's ready to go, it's like, boom, plug and play. So I'm confident that he'll be back sooner than we expect and ready to go.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you had told me a couple of weeks ago, if I had to predict what he might look like 2 weeks later after having surgery, it wouldn't be this.
Yeah.
You know, and I confess, I follow his wife on Instagram, and the moment he was hurt, I was like, okay, so, you know, what's on his hands? And then you start to see him around the house with the kids with nothing on his hand. I'm like, well, he just had surgery. Why isn't that hand wrapped? What if those kids hurt his hand? You know, it's like that silly stuff like that. But, you know,
what if his daughter grabs a mallet out of somewhere and just smashes his hand like in the cartoons?
Hey, kids have a way of hurting parents, man. I mean, just running up and grabbing on his just grabbing on that finger. I'd be like, I'm like, you know, get away from your father. But anyway, it's just everything's encouraging. Right. You just see, and this shooting video is just, you know, the latest piece. So, like I said with Kemba, it's like I want him back. I mean, this team was so much fun at full power. I'm just like craving to get back to that again and start kicking ass. I mean, the schedule looks favorable. I think over the next 3 weeks, I mean, there were some lightweights in there. So I want to start piling up the wins again.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I think that they can, well, we'll see. And in Sacramento, they obviously lost to Sacramento. We'll see what happens there. Brooklyn without Kyrie Irving feels like this should be Chuck. Kyrie Irving is nursing a serious shoulder injury and unable to make a trip to Cleveland and Boston. I mean,
I'm stunned. Color me stunned. I mean, this is crazy, right? I mean, I think everyone joked about this, that there would be some sort of injury that would prevent him from playing in Boston because he's a bit of a coward. Granted, he played the first game against the Cavaliers because that was opening night, right? So there's no way he could have ducked out of that game a couple of years ago, the one in which Hayward got hurt.
Yes.
But he did have a track record of kind of picking and choosing load management games. And I think out of the four games they played against Cleveland in Cleveland, he played that opening night one, then he missed three others.
Yeah.
So he picks his spots, right? And this seemed like there might be a chance that he would miss this one. And it's just, I can only laugh because let's be real. This shoulder injury is, if he had to play, if this were the playoffs, he's playing, right? Can we all agree?
Feels like that.
It's minor. It's the most minor, but you want to give the guy a little break. You want to work through whatever soreness he has. But let me. Doesn't he have something inside of him that makes him say, I want to be there. I want to get this over with. I want to bring the heat. You know, bring it to me. I want to soak in all the booze. I want to get this over with. Right? Does he not want that? Right? To get past this. And then also say, you know what? I'm going to drop 50 on these sons of bitches. Right? I mean, I think that's how you feel.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
Right? But he's, again, I'm not a trainer. I'm not Kyrie. And maybe that's, he's taking the long view and just saying, I need to get right now. So I'm going to miss this game and he'll take the short term heat for it because, you know, maybe he truly doesn't read the, you know, he's not on social media. He doesn't read the, but I don't know. For me, it's like, I'm going to just get it over with. Go soak in the booze and that's it. And then you move on and then you move on from this. You skip this game. And then next time you go to Boston, it's even worse.
Chuck, right? He's never coming to Boston.
Never.
He'll never play in Boston. It's going to be a point, Chuck, where Kyrie is, cause you know, he's not staying in Brooklyn either. Like he's gonna want to leave Brooklyn after like 2-3 years and he's going to go somewhere else. Eventually he's going to go to so many teams where he's going to skip every game and just sit out an entire season. Like that's, he's going to go back to Cleveland and sit out all the Cleveland home games. Cause he doesn't want to play there.
It's crazy, right? I never did think that the Kyrie, high maintenance stories in Brooklyn would start so soon. I mean, there's like Jackie Mack's story was unbelievable. I mean, yeah. We were 2 months in and then she dropped that. And then, you know, there are other sort of rumblings, whether it's on folks on social or even Stephen A. Smith came out and said, I'm hearing those same things. So, you know, he can't help himself. This is classic. He is who he is. And, you know, some teams can absorb it. And I think, you know, Brooklyn wants Durant back as soon as possible. So maybe he sort of mitigates whatever drama Kyrie brings. But, you know, it's the same shit as we dealt with last year. Fans are super sensitive. They're in a state of denial. Kyrie's putting up spectacular individual numbers. You know, Brooklyn's, what are they, a 500 team? I also think they've won 3 out of 4 games since his injury. Is it possible they're playing better without him? It's the same stuff, right?
It's an identical storyline. It's shockingly similar.
Right?
There are enough differences where you can plausibly say, no, it's different. You're looking for similarities because of, you know, you're in Boston and you want to draw these parallels. But at the same time, there are actual parallels. And just from my limited experience in one season of Kyrie, where a lot of these little things seem little as you're looking at them. And you're like, okay, no problem. He's got his own trainer. So he brings his own trainer, Robin Pound, around everywhere. It's like his own personal assistant and whatever. And he goes off and does his own thing. Okay, that's fine. You know, it's Kyrie. Whatever he needs to do to get himself ready, we'll deal with the results. But then just looking at the Celtics team, they are now just so focused on like the togetherness aspect of everything. You're like, well, that clearly was a little bit of the problem. And it really is kind of like the Jenga tower where each little thing that you pull out, it's like, it's not a big deal. The whole thing's still standing, but right. Eventually you pull out enough and you're like, whoa, this is unstable now. Yeah. All of those little things that don't seem to make much difference in the moment, all of a sudden you look back and you're like, wow, I didn't realize at the time how much of an impact a lot of these things had. Now, I have to also say, It still wasn't all Kyrie last year. Like, it's become all about Kyrie because this year's team's going so well. But Tatum and Brown learned lessons from last year as well. And they've come back playing differently and more freely than they were last year. Part of that's Kyrie. Part of that was in their own head. Part of it was Terry Rozier. Part of it was the Celtics. Part of it was Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge allowing some of that Kyrie stuff. So. Yeah. There was a bigger thing going on in Boston, but removing Kyrie takes away a lot of the tentacles from that. And now all of those tentacles are in Brooklyn. And who knows what happens when Durant comes back? I mean, they don't, this year doesn't matter for the Nets, but I do think, Chuck, that it does kind of matter for Kyrie a little bit, because after the debacle in Boston, he goes to Brooklyn and now they're 7-8. And if they just become a middle of the road seventh seed, you're like, you want to be the number one guy, dude, and you want to lead teams. But what are you doing? What have you done?
Nothing.
You know, like
no, he would have to have. No, you're right. I mean, he would have to. He's going to have to single-handedly win a playoff series. And if Brooklyn's a seventh seed, that involves beating, you know, a two or their eight. You know, it's just not. It's just not going to happen. He's not going
to
be able to.
I tell you what, he'd have to come back to Boston then, because the 2 seed right now is the Boston Celtics, and they're the 7 seed. So yeah,
that would be fun.
He would have no choice. That would be the only way he would come back to Boston. So we'll see. For now, he's not. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. wrapping up the West Coast trip, like, there's a lot to kind of unpack. We, a dumb podcast. I didn't talk about the Denver game, but we'll talk about that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Did you know Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment? Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Listening on the go? If you can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all of the other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Chuck, you talked about it a little bit earlier. The Celtics on that West Coast swing struggled a little bit, but so they were 2-3, but their three losses were by a combined 8 points, including a buzzer beater that didn't fall in Sacramento, a tough loss to maybe one of the top two or three teams in the NBA in Los Angeles, and then another tough loss that they viciously fought back from, a huge deficit, and lost to one of the top two or three teams in the NBA. So even on a 2-3 road trip, are you more encouraged or discouraged?
No, I'm encouraged because we have the trump card in that, you know, Hayward didn't play. Yep. So, you know, he was playing at such a high level. So the fact that we were super competitive against the, you know, some of those top teams without one of our core players, I think it's incredible. That Clippers game was unbelievable. I mean, there were two plays in that game. One was the Tatum crossover 3-point on Paul George.
Oh yeah, the one that dropped, right? Paul George. Yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable. Like,
that's
that was
a star
such a
play.
Big, that was such a big boy shot. But to me, like, Marcus Smart's play on Kawhi Leonard, that deny, deflect, and dive play, I think is one of the greatest defensive plays I've ever seen. And yeah, and what we saw was we see the best of Tatum and we see the best of Smart, and it was in such a huge game. I was like, I had all the feels. You know, we lost, but man, that was like, I'm like, this team, man. I'm feeling special about this team, yeah. Knowing that we still have Hayward to come back. So, yeah. So yes, some people, maybe certain folks who are employed in Boston sports radio might, you know, be crying about moral victories and green teamers. But man, that Clippers game, those moments, those are big time moments. I don't know how you can't be jacked about this team.
Yeah, that Clippers game was intense. You hear the people around the arena talking about how it was like a playoff kind of feel. Just the level of play, especially down the stretch, and on both sides of the floor. Like, as much as Pat Beverly, I'm the one that started the whole.
Oh Pat yeah, Beverly, I know. I want to hear from you on that.
That was it's kind of wild to be the impetus for something like that, but. It started with Pat Beverly making amazing plays on the floor. Like, my takeaway from that fourth quarter was Pat Beverly and Marcus Smart were just trying to one-up each other with maniacal defense. And Beverly, to his credit, was hitting a ton of shots. That he was a 19% three-point shooter coming into that game. And he hit, what, four or five three-pointers in the second half or the fourth quarter. Like, that's just – you pick your poison. And, like, the signature – Clippers play where it was the pick and roll between Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Harrell goes into the short roll. It was Tatum and Smart that were hugged up on Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Pat Beverly was alone in the corner. Or maybe it was Tatum that was on Beverly. Whoever it was kind of came over and stopped Montrezl Harrell because the ball got into the lane and you just pick your poison. Brad Stevens said it after the game. And you just hope that Beverly continues not to shoot well. And he made those shots, to their credit. If that was a playoff game, you lose a tough one at Los Angeles. I'm cool with that. Like, yeah. as much as you go back and you say, geez, we could have done this, we could have done that. They didn't have Landry Shamet. Boston didn't have Gordon Hayward. Either one of those guys playing makes a bit of a difference. But anyway. So after the game, Tom Westerholm and I are talking about like the storylines coming out of it. And I kind of relayed that same message. And I said, you go into the Celtics locker room. I'm going to go into Clippers and I'm going to see if I can get Beverly. So questions going Beverly's way. And then I ask him the question, something like, what's it like being out on the floor with Marcus Smart and you guys trying to like out intense one another? And he just kind of looks at me. And now in the scrum, if there's too much silence, somebody else is going to hop in. So he looked at me as if he was confused by the question. And I admit, like, I don't even know what out intense means, but it's enough of like, you get the point of what I'm asking for an athlete. They kind of understand and they play along and they answer the question. I was just looking for a, yeah, man, that was a hell of a battle. That's insane. So he just looks at me. So I let it go for a tick and I go, well, it's not often that you've got another guy out there that's matching your intensity. And he laughs and he goes, huh, that's funny. And then that's it. So the scrum, and then there's an ESPN guy to my right. And we kind of like turn to each other and we lock eyes in the middle of the scrum and he kind of like raises his eyebrows like, what the fuck was that? So the scrum continues and whatever, last question. And then Beverly goes, okay, thanks guys. Have a good day. And then he turns to tie his shoes and he goes, huh, match my intensity. So he was clearly sending me a message. Yeah. Saying like he thought that was a dumb thing for me to say and dumb to posit that in the first place. So my recorder's off. I just ask him, do you not agree with the premise of the question? And he just ignored me. So like, all right. And then Gary Washburn and I are walking out together. He goes, hey man, you tried. And that was it. So, and then the next day in LA, we get the question, to Marcus Smart about Beverly, and Smart goes off on the, look, I'm at another level. So, it was just kind of fun, but that whole thing with Beverly, like he just, I don't know.
That's what I want though, right? I mean, one reaction could be, oh man, you know, what a dick. But I really, you know, I prefer that response than the canned sort of response. Sure. You were talking about that. Oh, Marcus is, you know, just don't pay me lip service. If that's how you really feel.
Sure.
Right? And he didn't really do it in a disrespectful way. I mean, it was, but that's, I prefer that. Like, be honest and open. Like, that's great. And that's why I think, you know, I mean, everyone ran with it. And then you go back to Marcus to get his reaction. You get a story out of it for a couple more days. But that, I prefer that over the standard, you know, bullshit they feed us all the time. Yeah. So that, I thought that was great.
And I, you know, I never care if a player kind of like shoots me down. Like Kyrie did it to me last year because I asked about it was a big game. It might have been the Golden State game. And after the game, I said something about like this kind of felt like a playoff atmosphere. And he's like, no, it wasn't. Like that's the number one thing. If anybody out there ever has an opportunity to ask Kyrie anything about a game, go ahead and frame it as if it's a playoff atmosphere and he will shoot you down in an instant. But I don't care if players like try to dunk on me like that. Like I'm just trying to do my job. And if that's your feeling from the question, fine. So I was kind of amused by Pat Beverly's response. So, and obviously after that, you know that Marcus is going to say something because he's Marcus Smart. And so it's all in good fun. And now we have a storyline for the next time the Clippers come into town.
Absolutely.
The Denver game was, I mean, that was a tough one. Because you had the Kemba thing, and they came out, they looked dead. They looked like a team playing in their fifth city in a week. And it just, I was starting to write the recap like this was a schedule loss and it should have been. But then they really charged back. Their defense stepped up in the fourth quarter and they almost pulled that thing out. So, I haven't had a chance to go back and rewatch that game, but I was really impressed with the fight in that fourth quarter to really step up the defense and say, you know what? We're not going to sit here and take a 20-point loss. If you're going to beat us, you're going to have to beat us.
Yeah, I mean, they fought a lot harder than I did to stay awake because I have to confess. I was so traumatized by Kemba. I was screw it. We're not going to get an injury update, you know, anytime soon. And I wasn't fighting to stay awake. So I was more than surprised to see that it was, like a one possession game late in the fourth. But I don't know how much more time we have to talk. But man, Wanamaker, you know, I kind of wrote him off early in the season. I really wasn't seeing much from him. But over these last handful of games, he's playing good, smart basketball. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of fans like to just write him off as just, just a rotation filler guy. But he's earned minutes, right? And he's producing. Sure. So, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure. So, we might, you know, if he can continue. I know. I think they called up. Did they call up? Yeah. Right. So if Kemba doesn't go, we'll probably see more Wanamaker. But it's great seeing guys like that step up because, we're going to need that bench to be more productive as the season goes on, even when everybody gets healthy.
Yeah. I mean, that's been the big problem. And look, you try to take these opportunities when they come and you say, okay, well, we've got these injuries and no one wants the injuries, but they happen. And so Brad Wanamaker is taking advantage of this moment where they need another playmaker because Gordon Hayward is one of the playmakers. And then without Kemba, well, now you need somebody to really run this offense. He's just been solid. Every time you talk about Brad Wanamaker, Brad Stevens says that guy's a pro. And it's true. Like that, he just goes out there and does what you need him to do. Doesn't try to do too much, generally speaking. He just runs the offense. You know, he cuts. How many layups has he had? You know, just cutting and getting the ball and running off the pick and roll. And just he's done a very good job. Brad Stevens called him one of the best players on the entire road trip. And he's not that far off. Like he's been really good. So shout out to him for stepping up. Then you didn't see the fan thing with Marcus Smart.
No, clearly I just read, the reports about it afterwards, but it's, it's not surprising, you know?
Yeah. I don't have much to say about it. I'm just kind of curious what the league's going to do about it. You know, that happened on Friday. So they've had the kind of weekend to let things die down, but you know, we'll see. From what I'm told, there's some sort of issue with determining who actually said something. There weren't a lot of people kind of trying to corroborate Marcus Smart's story because it was a Nuggets fan and those were all Nuggets fans. So everybody's like, oh, I didn't see nothing. But the NBA has said in the past, they take this stuff seriously. It's kind of the same thing that got a fan banned for life in Utah when he said something about get down on your knees to Russell Westbrook. So, this isn't over. And there are cameras that the NBA can turn to. The NBA, I reached out to the NBA. They said that they're investigating. And that's all they said. We'll see what happens with the Nuggets and their security company and the NBA. So something to watch out for. All right. Well, I guess we're kind of done. The Celtics now play the Sacramento Kings. We'll have reaction after the Kings game. Maybe reaction from Kemba Walker. Maybe Kemba Walker is going to play. It still blows my mind. So stick around here. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast wherever podcasts exist. A 5-star rating and a good written review always helps out a great deal. And share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.